All right, welcome back. Second half hour of Who's Talking. Frank and Hobbo in studio alongside LeClaire Ryan's Vern Inge, and we're talking a little bit technical stuff, NCAA violations and rules and regulations and all that, in particular looking at the situation down in Chapel Hill. And Frank is going to give some more details, and Vern's going to provide the answers.
Well, essentially here, Kenneth Wanstein, the special independent investigator, a former federal prosecutor, he said that this abuse went on for 18 years, and that this whole program was, there was virtually no instruction or supervision. Four employees have been fired. Five others were disciplined. One academic individual had their honorary title removed. In essence, they involved the athletic program to push the players through the program.
Through the false academic program, as
right.
It was. And keep in mind, this is UNC's
keeping them
own,
eligible.
Yeah, and this is UNC's own report. This is not some third party or the NCAA. This is an investigator hired by the chancellor of the university to investigate what went on, and this is a report they released.
So why did the NCAA amend that notice of allegations, and where is this going?
Well, it's only speculation as to why the NCAA did what it did. Lots of folks you'll see out there in the media commenting and guessing at why that was. But the main thing that happened, interestingly, was reference to football and men's basketball was removed. And the supposition is that the NCAA is going to, in essence, make women's basketball the scapegoat, come down hard on women's basketball and not touch men's basketball or football. And in fact, Roy Williams, right before the NCAA championship game, which of course he was coaching in, had a press conference and was asked about the NCAA investigation. And his comment was, nothing's going to happen to us, meaning men's basketball, because you can't punish somebody who wasn't involved. And clearly, their own report showed men's basketball was just as involved as anybody else.
Well, the key from the NCAA standpoint, and this is Hobbo's speculation, is Carolina's a show pony for the NCAA.
Well, it is.
You know, and the elephant in the room is that there are a lot of athletes at Division I schools that are not necessarily student athletes. That's as kind as I can put it.
That's true.
And, you know, when I played back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, the ACC had an 800 rule on the SAT, which doesn't seem like Phi Beta Kappa material, but South Carolina left the conference over that 800 rule, and the NCAA got rid of that, and they have this sliding scale stuff now. So, it really comes down to the integrity of the individual universities, and I think that's what has gotten a lot of North Carolina alumni upset, because North Carolina is one of the premier public institutions in the country.
That's right. In fairness, the SAT testing does have some biases and problems in it, and it probably was appropriate for the NCAA to look at changing that rule. But that aside, clearly a lot of players out there that aren't really good student athletes, Carolina has always been held up as one of the examples, like UVA, of a place where you have to be a student to be an athlete. And it looks like they had a very significant problem. And the big issue is the NCAA just frankly hasn't dealt with it. It sat out there for a long time, and then they came back and amended their allegations, the notice of allegations, to remove football and men's basketball, which sets up, when the sanctions do come out, that those programs aren't involved.
Now, you're being a very good defense attorney. Now, if Hobbo's the prosecutor, I would say that you're right. There may be bias with the SATs, but that's the only thing that comes close
to a
standard number that you can compare across various schools, because an A at one school versus another is not necessarily the same thing.
That is true. But you can tell by academic performance within the university if they have real classes. That's the problem here, is clearly UNC wasn't having real classes, while other schools were having kids that weren't making grades and were being kicked off the team or otherwise disciplined as a result.
Or suspended academically. Right. All right. For instance, Virginia suspended their long snapper this year, Tyler Shirley, who is the incumbent at that position because of academic difficulties. So he had to sit out this semester and earn his way back into the program. All right. So the whole thing started when Mary Willingham, who is a special learning specialist at UNC and was working with student athletes that were struggling primarily with their reading and comprehension.
Well, she's the one that said
she blew the whistle.
Anyone who scored lower than 400 on the verbal SAT is not college material.
Among other things.
And that's That's probably what got her fired.
No, no. But she has. She was the one that cooperated heavily with Kenneth Weinstein, and she also blew the whistle on all these employees within the academic department that were collaborating on this scheme. So anyway, she has recently filed a whistleblower lawsuit. And let me tell you something. They picked the wrong woman to try to pressure, because she has now hired some lawyers, and she's going after UNC. And this could actually be, you know, the smoking gun, because she knows everybody and everything, and she can name the athletes and so forth.
She knows where the bodies are buried.
Well, they tried to hush her up instead of listening to her and just taking her word, and she didn't like it. But let's face it, nobody wants to see any school in the ACC penalized to some nth degree of, you know, like SMU. SMU was paying players years ago, and, you know, that is totally out of bounds. But this whole thing does need to be corrected. UNC should just take their medicine and admit what they've done, and the NCAA needs to penalize them.
And it's really amazing, because most schools will self-sanction, like Louisville did last year, for example.
For all the nonsense.
You know, the team in second place in the conference at the time decides they're banning them from themselves from postseason play. And UNC didn't self-sanction here, which is interesting.
Well, the ones that self-sanction lead you to believe they really did something wrong.
Well, I guess that's right. But what they do is they hope that's enough for the NCAA.
Yeah,
that's why
right.
They're doing it.
And slap themselves on the wrist.
Well, and in this particular case, UNC has fought this thing tooth and nail and dragged this thing on. And so for that reason, I believe that the NCAA needs to stand up and do the right thing for all the other member institutions that have been playing by the rules, academic and athletic. All right, other subjects. Miami has gotten themselves in trouble over the last couple of years again. The fun never ends if you're a Hurricane, right?
That's right.
First, it was that Navin Shapiro, the booster, spending money all over the place. Now what has happened down at Miami?
I'm not up to date on that one.
They got punished, and they're being investigated for some other things.
He has a conflict of interest. He has a child at the University of Miami
on
now.
I tell you what.
That's right.
He's sending tuition dollars to the
exactly.
University of Miami.
We tried to basically bribe that older child of yours to go to UVA.
That's right.
And he wouldn't listen. What kind of kid? He couldn't be bought.
He couldn't be. I don't know. But
took him to UNC Virginia basketball game and took him out to dinner. And that wasn't enough.
That wasn't enough after a big win for the Hoos. In the conference, we got lots of problems. Of course, the NCAA had a major problem in their last investigation of Miami with the Frank Haith situation down there. You've got Syracuse. Jim Boeheim's gotten himself in big trouble up there recently. So a lot of black eyes for the ACC fairly recently. And hopefully it's enough. It'll get cleaned up.
Well, I tell you what, the punishment didn't really seem to work, because Syracuse overachieved last year and took it out on Air Wahoo.
Overachieved in the last 9 minutes and 32 seconds of that grade eight game, I'll say
that. He sure did.
Tell you what. But
I'm still bitter and broken about that.
That was a hard one.
Well, no, I mean, I think we got Dr. Kerr on the line, so we'll come back to this subject. Let's go to the Ortho Injury Report with Dr. Glenn Kerr. Doctor, we thank you for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, during Saturday's big game, Glenn, starting left defensive end tackle, he's sort of a combination tackle end, Andrew Brown, the five-star superstar who was having a terrific season. It appeared that he separated his shoulder. I watched the sideline camera work very carefully, and he clearly was very emotional on the Gator cart that took him from the sidelines to the locker room, and they were protecting his shoulder. Do you think that they're going to do in the days this week to investigate that injury? And if it is a serious shoulder separation, how might that be treated?
Sure. Concerning was that he kind of was carted off the field, could not leave under his own power, but he was reassuring. I think he was back there in the second half in a sling. And so hopefully this is just a separation. They're graded, but that boils down to really those that need to be treated operatively or non-operatively. And if he needed to have something done emergently that would have been done that day, that he was kind of back on the field really is less likely that it's an injury that's going to affect markedly his season, but he will probably be out for several weeks. With x-rays, I could tell you exactly how bad the separation is, but if it is really just kind of a sprain to the ligament, meaning that he can bear weight on that, they're going to begin with early active motion and physical therapy and hopefully get him back into some light lifting activities and then back into pads here in 2 to 4 weeks if he's doing well. But I think they have a bye week coming up, so that's good news, and hopefully that'll give him time to maybe even get back to the game 2 weeks from now.
You know, Glenn, let me ask you about that, and I think Frank's got some more. But on sticking with Andrew Brown, it looked like on that play that he didn't really even get hit. It looks like he lunged for somebody and just came down on the field the wrong way. Would that indicate that it might be a sprain, not a separation?
It's very difficult to tell, and these injuries really come in two different forms or the mechanism. One is kind of landing directly on the shoulder, and it puts force through the clavicle and the AC joint, and the other one is kind of an outstretched arm. And it's so difficult to tell from the mechanism how serious it was. I think more how he reacted to it and that he, you know, the challenges that he had immediately after the injury, it was significant, but it was very reassuring that he came back.
We are speaking with Dr. Glenn Kerr of Ortho Virginia. Glenn is a general orthopedic surgeon. He also works on hips and joint replacements.
Hips?
Hips. Hubbo, that's you.
I'm in the queue.
He needs knees, too.
And a brain. Do you do brain surgery?
How about a volume discount?
Well, certainly a frontal lobotomy, maybe. But, you know, Glenn, I was looking at your bio, and I saw that you're actually a Colorado Buffalo. We had no idea you were a Buffalo.
I'm sorry. It's true.
But
I heard that's a big party school out there. Is that true?
Well, I actually attended school in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
There in Boulder, I think, has got more of the party background.
Well, that's what allowed you to go to med school. See?
Well, that is exactly it.
How about you're not going to believe this, but Glenn actually won the Bronze Star. Now, explain to us how you got the Bronze Star.
Well, it was an award during my military service. I did 26 years, and while I was deployed to Iraq, that was the post-deployment award was the Bronze Star.
I believe you're the first Bronze Star winner we've ever had on Who's Talking.
I think it's first any star.
Well, I knew Hubbo was going to come up with something brilliant. I see you've run 6 marathons, multiple triathlons, and you've completed an Ironman. Where was the Ironman?
That was in St. George, Utah, and that was a memorable day.
Well,
those
I'm glad
you're tough events.
I'm glad you're still here to talk about it.
Yeah.
Glenn, you would then easily identify with all the weekend warriors out there. Is there one particular injury that you're seeing quite a bit from maybe some of your 30, 40, 50-year-old patients?
I do, and what I think that one injury, it occurs this time of year as people are training for the Richmond Half Marathon or Marathon, and I see a great number of people that come in with stress fractures to the lower legs and overuse injuries to their knee. And that just, as you start training and work on a program to do things in moderation and to just build on what you've already started rather than, you know, jumping, you know, into a 10 or 15-mile run is really the way to avoid that.
Glenn, two things. First of all, we thank you for your service to our country, and I mean that from a heartfelt standpoint, and we also thank you and your colleagues at Ortho for being such loyal sponsors and contributors to our program for all 8 years of Who's Talking. So thank you for your time tonight, and we look forward to having you back.
That's great. Thank you very much. Have a
Thank
good
you.
Night.
All right, Dr. Glenn Kerr, we'll be back with our final segment. Stay tuned. Who's Talking? We'll have some more with Vern Inge after these messages.